This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
All right, welcome back to Twins Fest 2025 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. That's right, give it up, final hour. My name is Henry Lake, up here with Twins broadcaster Corey Provis. And joining us here on the stage for the final hour, we have Twins president Dave St. Peter. Give him a round of applause. And Derek Falvey, who is the president of baseball operations for your Minnesota Twins. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Welcome to Twins Fest, everybody. We're thrilled to see you. And I think February 12th, Derek, is pitchers and catchers. So we'll be in Fort Myers soon enough getting ready for a new season.
All right, we got a lot to get to, and we'll cover a variety of topics here over the next hour. But, Dave, you hate when the spotlight's on you, but I'm going to begin there because this is your last Twins Fest as the team president. So if you can, take us down memory lane about how Twins Fest first began and the origins of Twins Fest way back when.
Well, first and foremost, thanks, Corey. Yeah, I'm a little nostalgic about that, actually, today. 1988, we had a season ticket event at the Metrodome that happened out on the field, and one of our lead salespeople at the time, Mr. Scott O'Connell. Anybody here remember Scott O'Connell?
Sure do.
Scott really brought forward a vision for at the time, a one-day festival, which, if you all remember Twins Fest at the Metrodome, it was a much different event. And we ultimately, I think one year we drew 37,000 people over 3 days. And obviously became, in our mind, the preeminent baseball festival. And when we moved to Target Field, we obviously had a bit of a conundrum. We could do it at the Metrodome for a couple years, which we did. But then when the Metrodome went away, going to U.S. Bank Stadium wasn't quite the same. We didn't have the history there. We weren't playing there, so we decided to move it here. Since day one, all the proceeds have benefited the Twins Community Fund, and just as they do this weekend. And, you know, over the years we've raised, you know, literally now, you know, millions and millions of dollars for youth baseball and softball across the five-state region. So something we're really proud of.
That's awesome. Isn't it extra special to have it here? Because I've been to some other fan fests for other teams, and they've had them in, like, convention centers. But this is special to have it inside of Target Field.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think our fans, you all love coming to Target Field, don't you? I think it's great. We'd rather come in June or July, but it's pretty cool coming in January. The thing that makes Twins Fest special is the same thing that allows us to do things like Winter Caravan and even the Diamond Awards. And Derek has seen this. There is a tradition of player participation, future Twins, current Twins, former Twins, coming together this week for these events. And that has been, in my mind, unparalleled in baseball, the amount of player participation we've gotten year over year over year. It's passed down from one generation of players to the next. And that's really the secret sauce. And I'm really grateful to Rocco Baldelli and all of our players. I think we had 55 current or former Twins participating this weekend. I'll put that up against any team in baseball. That's pretty special.
Derek, that's a good segue, because when you discuss a variety of topics with your peers and friends of the game, and something like this comes up, and you get a chance for a couple of days to get past, present, future Twins all together with coaches, training staff, you name it, how unique is this amongst your peers in the game?
Yeah, Dave just said it. He's 100% right. There is no team in baseball that has a fest like this. They might get, you know, handful of players, maybe a dozen, maybe 20 players to show up in town. They're usually current roster players. There's not a lot of focus on, you know, the alumni and those players who've been here before, or the future young players. You know, one quick story that really resonates for me in this is, I just had it 15 minutes ago, Walker Jenkins, kid we took in the first round a couple years ago, tracking really well through the minor leagues. He came up with his parents, and they're here, and this is the first, you know, they came when he signed. They were in this building in the middle of the summer when he did, but they haven't been back up here. They said this has been the most incredible 2 days for them just to be around. They were at Twins Fest live event. They were here today just to see the fans and the interaction and the energy around Twins baseball. You know, they're not from here, so this is their first exposure. And for me personally, Corey, when I first got here, you know, get hired in the fall of 2016 and into 2017, this was my first opportunity to be around our players and some of those same alumni before I got to spring training that first year. And I think what's so cool about it is you see two things happen. You see alumni, you know, the Justin Morneaus, Joe Mauers, Rod Carews, Bert Blylevins all sitting there with Walker Jenkins and, you know, these young, Luke Kuechel and some players that are coming, as well as current roster players in the visiting clubhouse talking baseball. That's a really unique thing, and they get to build a bond before we show up in Fort Myers. I view this as kicking off spring training. I really do, because it's the first time the players get together after the turn of the calendar year and start to drive some energy toward what we're going to be doing this coming season.
Yeah, you just kind of stole my thunder a little bit, because, you know, you're living baseball every single day of your life because of your work and being in the sport. But, you know, when you look at Twins Fest, does that kind of get the juices flowing? Because I know, like, mentally for me, being in here, I know that the snow is going to leave at some point.
It is for me. I mean, I mean that when I say this is the start of spring training, because, you know, you see the players downstairs. Some of them get workouts in a few days in. They're leading out for caravan. They're in the clubhouse. It feels like baseball, you know. And I think if you keep your eyesight at, like, this level and above, you see blue sky, you see the field, you're like, all right, this is what it looks like. Don't look down at the snow just yet, but it does feel like baseball. And I think that this is, our players say it all the time. They come up here, obviously it's the cold, it's the winter right there, but as soon as they get here, their mind flips to Fort Myers and to kicking off the season and to getting ready for this year.
Yeah, this has been such a unique offseason, and it happened rather quickly once the regular season ended, where the Paulette family announced they're exploring a sale of the ball club. We'll get to that here in just a second. But then also, Dave, announcing your move to, I guess, no longer serve as the Twins president of this ball club. So I'll start, Dave, with you, and then Derek, shift it to you. Dave, why was now the right time to make that decision? And why was Derek the right guy to take your spot when that day comes?
Well, I've been really blessed. You know, this is my 35th year working in baseball, and all of that with the Twins. I've had an opportunity to be the president of the club for 22-plus years. And over the last couple of years, Corey, I've been thinking a lot about what could come next for me. I certainly have more in the tank. I think there's some other areas where maybe in baseball or outside of baseball, frankly, I can have impact and maybe, you know, find maybe another why, maybe a little another purpose. So, you know, I've had that dialogue going on with Jim and Joe Pollad, and ultimately what I didn't anticipate is the Pollad family exploring a sale. But, you know, along the way, we went through what I think a good company goes through, succession planning, had a lot of discussions about perhaps what we would do around my replacement, and certainly Derek's name was the preeminent name for Jim and Joe Pollad, but also for me, largely because of the leader he is, the investment he makes in people, and what we could see around his ability to have a vision and lead this organization toward what I think is going to be an unparalleled period of success. And from the day we interviewed Derek, we kind of said at the time, look, if we hire this guy, we might be not only hiring the head of baseball at the time, we might be hiring my replacement. We talked about it in the room, and here we are about to execute on that, making it happen in the next 60 days.
This question is for both of you. How are you guys adjusting to, like, new roles? And do you lean on each other at times throughout this process?
I'll start. I mean, That last part, I mean, I've been leaning on Dave for 8 years. So since the day I got here, he was the first person I met when I interviewed the morning of. We had coffee together and walked over to the Polad offices, and I got a chance to then meet the Polad family. But he was the first person I met. And, you know, when I walked through these doors, and my office is, you know, same floor as his, opposite side. But the amount of questions I've asked of him over the years, not just on baseball specifically, but more just on how to navigate some difficult challenges, how to lead in a different space, how to understand a little more about this community. I mean, no one's more embedded in this community than Dave and what he means to this team and this community and this region. So I've learned so much from him. And the good part is, you know, this transition allows for us to continue to talk about it. There's no immediate moment where this gets handed over and, you know, he's no longer here. He's promised me he's going to be a big part of those conversations going forward and will continue to be that mentor for me. And so that gives me a lot of peace because there's a lot of challenges, you know, for everything we're doing going ahead. As Corey said, we got a lot of news this offseason trying to navigate through. I'm hopeful that I can take the baton and continue to lead this organization the way he has.
Henry, it's a partnership. It always has been. I've felt really blessed over the years to have that with not just Derek, but Terry Ryan and Bill Smith, and obviously it's critical. I would also say that knowing that I'm moving into an advisory role, to Derek's point, you know, I'm a phone call away, or I'm going to be around. I'm still going to be here to provide support, provide counsel when asked, and Derek's and Joe have asked me to lead on certain things, whether it be our television situation, whether it be our efforts to work with Hennepin County to look after the long-term upkeep of Target Field. We're working on a variety of things around the potential sale of the franchise. So Derek and I work really closely, but, you know, I'm going to continue to pass on any knowledge that he might want to garner from me. You know, I'll do it forever, but I'll for sure do it over the course of the next several months.
We'll take a break, pay some bills, come back more with Derek Falvey and Dave St. Peter and Corey Provis right here. Twins Fest 2025 on the good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Neighbor. All right, we are back. Twins Fest 2025. Henry Lake, Corey Provis, president of the Twins, Dave St. Peter, and president of baseball operations, Derek Falvey.
Dave, if you can, because I know folks in this room have the idea of the Paulette family selling this ball club. If you can, update the folks listening and here at the ballpark and where things stand right now.
Yeah, you know, obviously I think people know the news in October. The family probably surprised a lot of people by announcing a desire to go through a process to explore a possible sale of the team. At the time, they engaged an investment banking company known as Allen & Co. And, you know, Derek and I are, I would say, are part of the process, more on the periphery. I think what I can safely say is the process is well underway. I know there's a lot of noise and speculation, and going to probably be more of that in the weeks and months to come. There is no definitive timetable to when this process will either end or where it will lead. I think I can say it's been reported. I think it's accurate. There's a significant amount of interest. There's only 30 Major League Baseball teams, but this is a gem of a franchise. One, first and foremost, because of all of you, the fan base here, the marketplace, the ballpark, the team we have assembled, the player development system. All of those things add up to a lot of people, knocking on Ellen and company's door saying, hey, talk to us about the Minnesota Twins. So we'll see where it goes, and we'll obviously have more to announce in the weeks to come.
Derek, what impact has that had on the lack of free agent spending when you assess where the team is at right now with pitchers and catchers reporting in a matter of weeks?
Yeah, really none. I mean, the part that we've been told through this process, Dave just said, you know, it's ongoing. There's an exploration and an Allen company handling it. But you know, we're business as usual. We're trying to build the 25 team to the best of our abilities to make it the best team it can be and then keep an eye on the future at the same time. I think the reality here is that we are at a stage in baseball where a lot of work continues to get done in late January, in early February. We've had trades, free agent signings, all the way up and through opening day the last few years. So for us, I mean, much of our roster, I feel like I sit up here most years and I say there's more to come as we go. And then for last year for us, whether that was Carlos Santana after Twins Fest and guys that into February showed up on our roster, we're still working through it. We think we have a really good core and there's a good team assembled here with a lot of depth. You see so many of the players who showed up this weekend. You're excited about what we have. We're trying to look at ways to round out and add around the edges. And I would imagine that's something that over the next few weeks, we'll get a little bit more clarity around.
So you mentioned it's been business as usual, but here we are. It's January 25th. So why? Why hasn't something happened, either in terms of free agency, an impactful trade? What has been holding it up from your end?
You know, from a trade standpoint, the way I look at it is we're in a little bit of a unique time in baseball, which I think is good for the game and healthy for the game. But I probably have never seen a time where there's as few sellers as there are right now. What I mean by that is teams that are just maybe in truly in a rebuild mode, in a sale mode. And right now, when you look across our division, when you look across other divisions, you look down and you think, wow, all four or five of these teams are all really have a genuine chance and think they're competing for the top of the division in a playoff spot. Usually maybe there's 5, 6, 7, maybe 10, 12 teams that are in a position where they're thinking about the future and they're trading off their roster. What that's led to is it's really hard to find overlap because when a team's going for it, they don't want to trade off their major league roster and you don't either. So is there a maybe need for need swap that can happen? Some of those conversations have happened, but they're harder to have. And then in the free agent market, certainly there's been some big signings early, but we still see, you know, upwards of 10, 15, 20 guys that are free agents at this stage of the offseason that are still going to make a significant impact on a roster. I mentioned Carlos a year ago, and we've had a number of guys over the years that have come to us in February or into March that have had significant impacts in the season. I think that's just the reality of our offseason now.
You know, it's truly a blessing to be here at the ballpark and to be a part of the broadcast and do post-game shows, and we're the radio home for the Twins, WCCO. But let's talk about the television deal in terms of the partnership with Major League Baseball. I know that there's a lot of people that are curious about everything and how it's going to play out because there were a lot of fans that were frustrated last year with what took place.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Henry. And, of course, yeah, you can listen to every game on WCCO Radio and the Treasure Island Baseball Network. You know, the television situation has been well documented. There's been a lot of disruption, not just here, but in many other markets around the country. We were really excited to announce also in the fall that we were going to make the move to the Major League Baseball media platform, similar to what the San Diego Padres, the Colorado Rockies, and the Arizona Diamondbacks did in some cases a couple years ago. We announced yesterday, first and foremost, we're going to announce for the first time ever a direct-to-consumer streaming option for Twins fans. The details of that will be announced on February the 11th. You'll be able to sign up at $99.99 a month or for the year or $20 a month. Less than $1 a game to get upwards of 150 games. You know, that's a game-changing announcement with no blackouts across the entire television territory, including, for the first time ever, the entire state of Iowa. Secondly, we'll be working with Major League Baseball to deliver Twins Baseball on your traditional cable and satellite providers, whether it be Comcast or DirecTV, MediaCo. Look for details on that in the next several weeks. And then I would just close with the production, the talent, all of that I think you're going to love. We're very, very confident that it will match or exceed what you've seen in the past on Twins Baseball. And, of course, the guy to my right, Corey Provis, will be back for his 13th year working Twins Baseball, his second on the television side. I told this to a group the other day. When Corey came to my office after we offered him the job, he said, "Dave, my goal is to be here for 30 years, and we're almost halfway there, Corey. So keep this guy coming to Twins Fest for the next 20-plus years, okay?"
At that same meeting, by the way, Jim Polad told me I sound exactly like Laurel Priebe. Not a broadcaster, by the way. Laurel Priebe ran the West Coast operations for Major League Baseball and was and still is Bud Selig's son-in-law. So I didn't think I was getting the job when he said, "Hey, you sound like Laurel Priebe." So, yeah, we're excited about Twins.tv. It's going to be really fun.
You know, quick follow-up, though. What would you say is the biggest concern or hurdle as you kind of figure this out in terms of this new thing? Because I do believe, and I'll give the Twins credit years ago, I think that they were visionaries with Victory Sports, and I think a lot of people forget about that. Yeah. And you look at the market and what's happening in Major League Baseball and sports now, and now we're here again trying to do something special.
Well, there's been obviously a lot of disruption in media as we transition from traditional cable satellite to streaming.
Yep.
And certainly baseball's not immune to that. We've dealt with it. The decision we made to go to MLB Media this year is not about economics. It's really all about reach. We will expand the reach of Twins Baseball north of 300% year over year. And that's really about the fans. And it's probably a year too late, but the good news is we're there today. As I look to the future, Henry, the things that I think all of the sports have to figure out is, and you see it in the NFL, you see it in the NBA, what is the right mix between traditional broadcast and streaming services? And one of the things I'm hopeful of is that we're going to be able to add over-the-air games back into the mix here in the Twins territory for the first time in more than 10 years. That's another thing we're working on, all rooted in expanding the reach of our product.
Dave, speaking of the television industry right now, and there is a separation right now between you look at bigger markets and smaller markets, the impact that is having, you know, certainly on payroll disruption. How much of a concern is that, not just forget the Twins right now, but looking ahead at how long this kind of platform, this kind of game plan can really exist in terms of parity throughout the sport?
Well, Commissioner Manfred has been, I think, pretty vocal about his desire to find a path towards creating a platform that all 30 teams are on. And I think the idea there ultimately is to tie that somehow to some form of broader economic reform in our game. But, you know, from a Twins perspective, that's one of the reasons we felt so strongly about what I like to say is getting on with the future and joining the MLB media platform in 2025. We're really starting a new business. We're building a direct-to-consumer business. We're going to start to sign up our first subscribers on February 11th, and we believe the rest of the league will soon follow.
It's going to be really neat, too, and I was talking about this with Derek the other day, that starting this year, that if we have a rain delay somewhere, instead of as much as we love watching Trevor Plouffe play wiffle ball, it's cool and all, but maybe we just join a Saints game, or we join a Wichita game so we can see Walker Jenkins play, and everybody can throughout Twins territory. Things like that we can now control, which is just great news.
No doubt. Players on an injury rehab assignment. We can side-by-side every at-bat. Walker Jenkins making his major league debut with the Saints, or his AAA debut with the Saints. I don't know when he's going to go there. My guess is not for a while. But my point is, we'll have flexibility to be creative to bring more Twins-related content to our fans in real time, live.
Another quick question for you, Derek, before we head to our next commercial break. I know that you want to win every single year. That's the goal, right? To be competitive, to win, to get to postseason. Unfortunately, that didn't happen last year. Any silver linings, though, to last year? And I ask that question specifically because, for me, being able to see Woods Richardson, being able to see Festa, being able to see Matthews, that was super interesting for me.
Yeah, Henry, you're spot on, right? We go back to last year, and that was a tough finish of the year. It hasn't left any of us, as I'm sure it hasn't left many of you. You know, we played good baseball for a good stretch of the Major League season. We did not play good baseball down the stretch. And, you know, we've talked about it a lot. What can we learn from that? How can we make sure that never happens again? Rocco's talked about it. Our players talk about it. They use some of that as fuel in the offseason. But the things that you're talking about, as I zoom a little further away from it, I think about how many young players we had playing late games, late September, you know, in a pennant race, in an October run to try and find a way to get there. That's learning you can't replicate anywhere else. Like, you've got to get out there. You've got to perform in those moments. And when I think about the pitchers you just mentioned, some other young position players who had to step up and play a role, that is learning that they are taking into the future seasons and will make them stronger and better for the next run.
More with Derek Falvey, Dave St. Peter, Corey Provis. I'm Henry Lake. You're listening to Twins Fest 2025 on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome back to Twins Fest 2025 here on Newstalk A30 WCCO. Dave St. Peter, Derek Falvey, Corey Provis, my name is Henry Lake. Final segment, not this segment, but the next segment, we will field questions from the audience here, so we look forward to that.
You mentioned at the end of last year a very passionate press conference you held, and you brought up a variety of topics, and I was thinking about that driving in today about you wanted to see competition in camp. When you look ahead to spring training, is this camp going to be unique in the sense that maybe as opposed to recent years where you think there are more jobs to be had and performance stats. I know you can say what you want about spring training stats, but for some, if not a few, it's going to matter.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe more than any other year, we're going to have guys that probably have earned a chance and have pitched at the big league level, you know, potentially, if we stay healthy and everyone's in a good spot, that may not ultimately find their way on the team right out the chute. And that's something that's hard for young players to go through, and we just mentioned a few of them. And when you start with Pablo Lopez, a healthy Joe Ryan, which he's in a great spot. You guys have seen him run around here this weekend. But you got Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock coming back healthy, and then you have young pitchers like Simeon Woods Richardson or David Festa, you know, Zebby Matthews, guys that had an impact at the big league level. Well, that's more than five names I just mentioned, and there's usually only about five spots in the rotation. So hopefully we're in a position where we have to choose between some guys that are really competing. And that's the message we've given guys, is nothing's given, right? Everything has to be earned. And that's the way our young players are approaching spring training. I can tell you this, maybe more than any other time I've come to Twins Fest, I can feel how much work guys have put in beforehand, how good their bodies are. And Byron Buxton looks as good as he's looked in a lot of years and feels as good as he's felt in maybe in my entire tenure with him here. So I think when you see those signs and you know that the group is prepared for spring training, not using spring training to get ready, they're already ready, that's when you know they have the right mindset for the season.
I think that's the perfect segue to my next question. The reality of professional sports is that when your most talented players get injured, you're likely to struggle. Knowing that, how do you feel about the depth of talent in this organization right now?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We know that last year when I just mentioned Joe Ryan, when he went down at that point, we had to push some of those young pitchers into big moments. That was hard. But, you know, position players, we've said it and haven't run away from this. We know that Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, Royce Lewis are all game-changing players. We know that. And we need them all on the field. And we need them all on the field at the same time. And that's been a challenge at different junctures for us over the last couple of seasons. But I can tell you that, you know, as we think about the depth, Henry, to answer your question, there's a lot of those young players who got some experience last year. There's young kids who came up here, like Luke Kuechel, you know, who hasn't debuted here at the big league level. Emmanuel Rodriguez, who we think very highly of, who played in AAA last year, got to AAA. These are guys that they're names that you might not know yet, but you're going to know here pretty soon.
You know, there's going to be a new look. Clearly, a guy that was a staple here is now gone, and that'd be Max Kepler. Carlos Santana, he's gone as well. Just kind of talk about like where you're at in terms of how you feel about losing guys like that.
Yeah, it's hard, right? When you have people that have been with the organization, I mean, Cap Max was here longer than me, and you know, was ultimately, other than he and Byron, really were the two that were here when I got here, that were still here on the team last year. You know, when you have that happen, obviously free agency comes for players. Max was here a long time, contributed a ton for us, was an excellent right fielder. But when you look at a young player like Matt Wallner, who, you know, everyone in this here, hometown kid, you know, just kind of slow and steady, had some ups and downs, but at stretches of time last season and even before, he carried us offensively. He has that kind of game-changing, team-carrying ability. And so when you see a young kid like that, that you know is ready to step into that role, you got to move on to the next wave. That's a reality of sports, right? Young players have to step in for guys that have moved on, and I feel really good about someone like that. And then at first base, you know, players like Jose Miranda and Eddie Julian, who've made significant impacts at the big league level, are going to get some reps there. If we add from the outside and try and find another way to deepen our first base group, we're working on that. But as it stands right now, I really feel good about the young players that are here.
I haven't seen Matt Wallner. Did he get snowed in Ocean Springs?
No, I think he's in a friend's wedding. Okay. That's what so he's excused absence. Okay. Let's put it that way.
Just to make sure he didn't get snowed in, that the 3 inches of snow that they have in Mississippi caused that much havoc. Royce Lewis, his name's come up a lot, and third base, second base, have you decided on that at this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we have always said about Royce, he is one of the most dynamic athletes on the field. He came up as a shortstop, was a high school shortstop, actually played some third base in high school. He played some outfield in high school, right? So he's bounced around before, but he's that kind of athlete. You know, last year, during the end of the season, we did talk about it a little bit, about maybe just with the stress we had on the roster and where we could play guys, that second base might have been in consideration. And it was hard. We were in a pennant race. It was a challenge. He was wearing the end of a long season for the first time in his life. And you know, it was just hard for everybody. So we backed off of that. But we did talk to him in the offseason about it. He's been eager in his workouts to, you know, explore what it's like to maybe take some balls at second, see what that looks like. But I would say, as we stand today, barring significant change to our roster, you're likely to see him at third base. That's going to be the primary area of focus for him. We just want to make sure that as things change over time and as players go, you know, he, his agent, others have all talked about, they think he'd be a really good second baseman. I think he'd be good almost anywhere on the field. He puts his mind to it. So I really believe that, you know, you're going to see him at third, but we may mix in some second base games in spring training just so he's a good feel for it.
All right, so if he's at third then, if things stay as they are, does that mean you're looking at second base with a combination, and first base for that matter, of Brooks Lee, Eddie Julian, Jose Miranda, that trio, is that going to take up the right side?
Yeah, I think, you know, those are probably the names.
Willie Castro, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, those are probably the names that we talked about that played most of those positions, but I can't miss on Willie, right, because of how much of a Swiss Army knife he is. He can play anywhere on the field. So having his ability, I mean, he's a great second baseman. If he needs to go out there some, I mean, he's even talked about going and he'll play some first, right? He just has that kind of ability. He can go anywhere on the field and make an impact. We'll keep those guys in the mix at both of those positions and ultimately see how things shake out, you know, through the rest of the offseason and into spring training.
When healthy, Carlos Correa has been sensational. How's he feeling nowadays?
Yeah, you know, great news on that front is that really soon after we got through the offseason, you know, he was dealing with the plantar fasciitis. He finished the season playing for us, but something we wanted to address. I feel like we've gotten to every specialist there is around plantar fasciitis in the country and maybe in the world at this point to try and make sure that we can do everything we can to keep him going. And ultimately, he's had an awesome offseason. Our hitting coach has been with him he went down to see him in Houston, worked out with him, and said, if I didn't know any better, I think he's in mid-July form. So that's great news. He was here this weekend. You saw him, and he's got that great smile. He's a great leader for us. So I think if we can continue to keep him on the field, does that mean rotating a few more DH days in and maybe getting him off his feet from time to time to manage that? That might be part of it. But he's a tremendous shortstop. And as you said, Henry, when he was playing last year for us, he was one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
Dave, I want to bring you back in and go back to the topic that we did go mention a bit last segment about the Paulette family exploring the sale and the impact that will have to Target Field and to keeping the Twins, of course, here in Twins territory. How much has that come up in dialogue with potential buyers about this beautiful ballpark? The lease runs through 2040, but making sure that whomever takes over, that this ballpark and this team is staying put.
Well, certainly Target Field, I think, is widely recognized as one of the great ballparks in Major League Baseball. It's certainly top 10. I could argue it's top 5. But I think as at the center of the materials that are, you know, shared with prospective buyers is, you know, the Minneapolis-St. Paul market and Target Field. And, you know, over the long haul, I think we've been blessed. The Pollads have been incredible stewards of this ballpark. The upkeep here, the maintenance, the cleanliness, I think, you know, frankly, puts Target Field at the very top. And I think that whoever owns the team will be able to follow. We've done a lot of planning. There's a master plan for what I call Target Field 2.0 and the remodeling of a lot of different spaces, including the Thrivin' Club, our home clubhouse, the Champions Club, new concessions. We're going to do some things you'll see even as we roll into the 2025 season to advance the technology in the building. But there's an exciting chapter ahead on the ballpark, and ownership is going to be clearly at the forefront of that in being a steward of this wonderful ballpark. The bar has been raised with the Pollads. I will say that. They're widely known across baseball as committed to this ballpark as any owner in the game. Whoever comes into this team will do, whoever ends up with the franchise, should they sell, would be smart to spend a lot of time with Jim and Joe Pollad and talk to them about how important that was and how much our fans, I think, appreciate that.
All right, one quick question before we head to our final break and then bring in questions from the audience. As a Twins fan, as a native Minnesotan, not trying to be negative here, but I do want to ask you, Derek, about exactly about Chris Paddock. Because I know that when you go into a year, you have expectations. I kind of view him as a question mark. Yeah. How do you view it?
Yeah, that's fair. Chris has certainly been someone who, at times for us, has pitched really well, has had good stretches of baseball. Last year, coming back from a Tommy John surgery, his second in his career, ultimately got through a place where he threw a bunch of innings for us, but then dealt with some challenges again. I think anytime a player ends hurt and isn't healthy, it's a question mark going into next year. I wouldn't run from that at all, Henry. And I think that the key for us is how is the offseason going? And the thing that we've heard is that since the day he got healthy and was in a good place and cleared by his docs to continue his progression, he's been throwing every day. He said it's felt better this offseason than he's probably felt in a long time, because even prior to a Tommy John surgery, usually someone's dealing with some issues and they're dealing with some soreness going into it that finally when it pops, you know, it's been unhealthy for a period of time. He feels as healthy as he ever has. This guy is an incredible worker. He's prepared, and he knows this is an important season for him. He's a free agent at year's end. He's got a chance to go back into that market. I think he's really prepared, and we'll see in spring training how much that work this offseason paid off.
Your questions for Dave St. Peter and Derek Falvey to wrap up Twins Fest 2025 next year on The Good Neighbor.
Welcome back. Wrapping up our great coverage here on WCCO Twins Fest, and with Derek Falvey and Dave St. Peter, I'm Corey Provis, and we're going to use our remaining time to get questions in the crowd. So Henry Lake, the man himself, has a microphone. If you have a question for Dave or Derek, by all means, raise your hand. And I think, do we have one here? Just say your name, where you're from, and who your question is for, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, my name is Brent Rosenkranz. I flew in just for the event. I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm a season ticket holder there. But I do travel around and watch the Twins on the West Coast. Specifically Oakland and Anaheim last year, came up here. So I really enjoy this event. So thank you. I wish you the best in your retirement, Dave, and congratulations, Derek, on the upcoming promotion. So two of my questions had already been answered. I had three of them coming in. One of them is still left. The season didn't end that great. Okay, so up to the All-Star break, you know, the record was 70, and we were 17 games above 500. I say we because they're my American League team. 17 games above 500. From the All-Star break until August 17th, 16-11, still honorable, and then the 12-27 downslide. Five of those games were one run or less. 22 of them were two runs or more that we lost by. My question is this. At the All-Star break, nothing happened. As far as I know it, them and Oakland A's, which is understandable, didn't. We had a real shot at going all the way. We were in we were two games out of first place at the All-Star break. And it kind of seemed like we didn't predict the Ryan injury. I get that. If you could go back and do something now about that and say, you know what, now we predict this, and not the downslide, because even in September, six of our seven, we lost. All of them by two or more. And the division games were important. What would you do different now? And you touched on possibly waiting a little bit for in the free agent market. The problem with that is with our Diamondbacks, we saw what happened with Jordan Montgomery. Yeah. We saw what happened with Blake Snell. We saw, so I didn't want to wait too long on that. So I'll wrap up the question, but what would you do different if you were at the All-Star break this time last year?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I appreciate your question. And obviously the level of depth, you know, you follow us and otherwise I appreciate it, because that's exactly what we did in the back half of the season, right? We get to the offseason, we're trying to assess, okay, what went well, what didn't go well. I think what you just said is right. You know, when we broke down the games, there were stretches of time our offense just went away, right? We pitched in aggregate, actually, when you look at it, losing Joe was tough. Some of the young guys had some tough outings, for sure. But when you really think about the way that group collectively pitched, they did okay. Toward the back end of our bullpen, a lot of those guys were doing okay. The middle of our bullpen, young players got a little bit exposed, right? So to your point, we always go back and assess what were our options at the deadline, right? And what could we have done, and what could that have looked like? And at the time, you know, we made the decisions we made, which there weren't many overlap opportunities for us. And even in hindsight, as I look at it, we weren't presented at the time. You know, we explored a ton of different options with things that today, right now, I'm going to be too super candid with you, that I would go back and still have done. It was things around trading young players on our team that you're going to see this year that are part of this already that we know are going to have significant impacts going forward. So it's always tough at every deadline. There were so many teams, much like it is this offseason, that are kind of in it, so to speak, that maybe led to a market that was harder to find perfect fits. But we'll always evaluate it every turn. I'm not afraid to make make a trade when we have to, even when it might not be the most popular. To go get Pablo Lopez and make the trade that we had, that was tough for us, right? Because we knew what we were trading away and the impact that player had on our roster. We're going to continue to do that. But as I think about it, I think about the core we have here. I think about Carlos Santana, who came in the first week of February last year. That was a little later. I agree with you getting too far into camp and hoping you can build up a starting pitcher. I think that's a little dicey. I genuinely believe that. And I hope that we'll have some options maybe over the next couple weeks before camp kicks off or in the early stages of camp that can help us.
Bruce, I'm here in Minneapolis. We've been hearing rumblings about the possibility of trading one of our catchers for a proven starting pitcher. That's kind of been hashed around. And if that were to happen, what's your evaluation of the depth in that catcher position? Can Ryan catch 125 games and get by with a neophyte? Thank you.
Yeah, Bruce, good question. As we've seen in this game, you know, there were years ago where 150 games, 155 games caught for some guys was the norm. That's changed quite a bit over time. You're seeing more of a tandem approach to the position, you know, just defensively, offensively, the challenge of the position. I feel really good about our catchers, you know, right now. I think Ryan has emerged and continued to show signs of both an offensive catcher and a good defensive catcher. And I think in Christian Vasquez, we've had a guy that's super durable, reliable. You know, ultimately his offense hasn't been quite to the level where I think we want it to be, but his defense has shown up every day, and everything shows that, whether it's the metrics or your eye test. Both of them show you that. So it's not that easy for me to look at it and say, oh yeah, we're just trading away from that group, because to your point, you can have some young catchers come in and fill the void as backups. We have a young kid we just traded for, Diego Cartaya, who was a top prospect who had some injuries, dealt with some back stuff the last couple of years. He's probably, you know, he's 23 years old, maybe get a good runway at AAA. Camargo, who came up, played a couple games for us. That's good depth to have. But if you're going to be a competitive team, a team that's going to go try and win, with the group that we have, with the pitching that we have, you also want to have some veteran catchers back there who know how to call a game, navigate a pitching staff through it. So we hold a high bar on what we need there, because that's just such a critical position. Even if the stat line doesn't show you that, it's just so important from a leadership perspective.
Jason from St. Peter, what's your plan for DH? And do you think Ty France could be a possible fit there?
Yeah, so, you know, DH.
We got about 60 seconds.
Yeah, appreciate the question, Jason. When I look at the group that we have, I think last year we had a little bit of a rotation at DH, right? We talked about Byron Buxton getting some games off his legs, and I think that really helped him, DHing some days. Trevor Larnach had a good run there, and one of our better hitters down the stretch for us. And then we just mentioned Carlos Correa maybe rotating through that. For us, I mean, back to Nelson Cruz, obviously, when we had him, that was the guy you penciled in every day at DH. For most teams now, even as good as the Dodgers are and otherwise, because now that Shohei can pitch, there'll be some rotation of those DH spots. I think that's probably the most likely outcome for us again this year.
Hey, thanks everybody for being here. We truly do appreciate it. It's been a blast here.
Thanks,
for
everybody.
125. Corey Provis,
H. Lake,
Dave St. Peter,
good
Derek
man.
Falvey, thank you so much. Stevie T, Steve Thompson, joining us next. He's coming up next here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.